Shorter days and colder weather can bring down our moods, but sometimes it can be difficult to figure out if feeling down is just temporary or if it's become a more serious condition that requires treatment.
Our next guest says that getting the correct depression diagnosis and right treatment can go a long way to making people feel better, and there are options even when typical depression treatments don't seem to be working. Dr. Dean McKinnon joins us now. He's an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Science at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He's the author of the book Still Down, What to Do When Antidepressants Fail. Dr. McKinnon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
Well, can you start off by telling us what are, I mean, people probably have a lot of ideas about what depression is. When it comes to depression that requires some form of treatment, what are some of the basics of diagnosing that?
Well, I think that one problem that it often comes up is that the word depression is sort of a poor term for the illness that we treat in psychiatry. Everyone knows what it's like to feel depressed now and then, but the difference between feeling depressed about a bad life situation or just having an off day is different than having the illness of major depression, which involves a change not only in the mood, but in a lot of other life functions, including sleep and appetite and energy, your ability to concentrate, your ability to focus, your sense of self-value, even your will to live. What differentiates these symptoms from just having a depressed mood is that they persist for weeks at a time, and they are severe enough that they cause a person to not be able to function at their normal level, not to carry on relationships, work, other social functions.
A lot of times it seems like people downplay the impact of serious depression like that. There's unhelpful advice, shake it off, things like that, get over it. That is really not useful, is it?
Not for people who are suffering from significant major depression, no. You can't think your way out of it. It's an illness.
In your book, you lay out a number of different kind of model case studies, and the first one is when things work kind of the way we want them to. Someone has that level of serious ongoing depression. They get an antidepressant, and it works. How is that normally what happens? Is that what often happens in cases of diagnosed depression?
Yeah, about a third of the time when somebody comes to a doctor with a major depressive illness and they receive an antidepressant medication, things work out pretty well. For those for whom it doesn't work out the first time, the second or third drug that they might try will yield some good results. But that also leaves, you know, a fair number of people who really don't get great benefit from antidepressants.
Let's get into kind of the heart of your book now. What are some of the causes of that not working? And the first couple of cases you give are related to either not consistently taking the medicine or not getting the right diagnosis and getting the appropriate dosage of medication. Talk about that situation.
Yeah, so I've learned through experience treating people with treatment-resistant depression that in order to be able to provide more than just another drug to take, it's important to take a history and to understand something about why the person isn't responding well to medications. Some of the more obvious reasons people might not respond to the medications being prescribed for depression is that they either don't really have major depression or they're not getting the medications in adequate quantities. The latter problem used to be a huge problem. When I started out, Prozac had just hit the market, and it was a much easier antidepressant to use than the older antidepressants. And so a lot of people were underdosed with antidepressants. So you'd see a lot of people who didn't have a good antidepressant response, but they'd never had a sufficient dose of an antidepressant just because they were difficult to use. Nowadays, you might have people who don't get an adequate antidepressant dose because they don't understand you have to take it every day for it to work for weeks and weeks, months and months even. Or they are so anxious or so sensitive to side effects that they can never really build up to an adequate therapeutic dose. So those are the people who don't get the treatment. As for people who really don't have major depression, that's a little trickier, but there are a lot of things that you might see in a psychiatric office that resemble depression, where the person's primary mood complaint is of feeling depressed. But if you ask all the right questions, you realize that major depressive disorder, as I described earlier, with all those characteristic symptoms, isn't really the person's problem. So they have a low mood because they may be demoralized. Being in a bad life situation, stuck in a situation that may not resolve for a long time, but would improve one's mood if one could change the situation. That's different than major depressive disorder, in which somebody can have a perfectly lovely life situation, but they don't experience it because of the illness. So people who are demoralized need psychotherapy. They don't respond so well to antidepressants.
Well, there can
be some confusion between the two.
And you pointed out in the book, it could be both. Someone might have that clinical depression and a bad life situation, and in that case, maybe antidepressants plus some form of talk therapy might be the cure.
Exactly, yeah. Or even if somebody's been depressed for a long time, often some of their important life functions can atrophy. They can have trouble on the job, trouble with relationships, and there sometimes has to be a bit of restoration of life after the depression illness goes away in order to get a person back to really feeling good again. I wanted to add, too, that bipolar disorder is another part of the differential diagnosis of depression. So a person may have major depressive episodes, just like the standard episodes, but if they also have manic episodes, even mild manic episodes or hypomanias, they don't necessarily respond well to antidepressants. Sometimes antidepressants make it worse. And if you don't take a careful history, you can miss those. And the other common situation is when people get over-medicated, they get into what we call delirium, or an altered mental state, where their consciousness is altered. They don't think well. They're overly tired or sedated, and oftentimes their life functions atrophy, and they don't feel good. But that's not depression. That's a secondary consequence of treatment they're getting for depression.
A common theme in all of these seems to be, ideally, the medical care provider is able to take time with the patient to answer a lot of these questions you're raising. In the realities of our clinical situations, is that really happening?
I think it's happening less and less, unfortunately. Psychiatrists, first of all, there's the movement to split the pharmacotherapy part of psychiatry, the medication part of psychiatry, from the psychotherapy part of it. So, insurance companies increasingly are willing to pay for a psychiatrist to spend 15 or 20 minutes with a patient once a month to talk about medications. And if the person needs psychotherapy, then to refer them out to a non-physician therapist. And sometimes that can work fine, especially if there's good communication between the therapist and the psychiatrist, and they both know the patient well and can talk. But when that's not the case, or when there is no psychotherapy going on, 15 minutes or once a month is enough to deal with a person's depression if they're doing well. But if they're not doing well, it's not even really enough time to ascertain that they're not doing well or to problem solve. It's really just enough time to ask, how's life? Are you taking your medications? Are you having any side effects? And do you need a refill? And, that's pretty much the session. So, yeah, you can't really problem solve with that kind of an approach.
And Dr. McKinnon, very briefly, my one takeaway from this for patients and doctors seems to be don't give up.
Exactly. In fact, don't give up on your doctor either if you feel your psychiatrist isn't getting you the help you need. I think you might need sometimes to push the doctor a bit and say, listen, I'm really not doing well, and maybe we need to spend more time talking, or maybe we need an extra appointment to try to solve the problem.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Dr. Dean McKinnon. His new book is Still Down, What to Do When Antidepressants Fail.